Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, welcome to the Red Men TV. It's the review show, the morning after the night before. And the night before this time was beating Maribor by 3-0 in what has been described universally as a professional performance and a terrible first half.
And a bit like Huddersfield.
A bit like Huddersfield, exactly. So what we're going to do is we're really going to focus on the comments on this one. So while people get into the comments section and stuff, Paul, I picked up a couple from your match reaction that I thought were really good.
Okay.
So Rajveer N1 says...
Get a new coat, Paul.
No.
Really? Okay,
I haven't found one of them yet. We may come on to that, mate. It's YouTube, I'm sure that happened.
Yeah.
3 points, top of the table. Firmino ending careers again. Sturridge scoring again. Brill. With Milner missing the pen, Bobby on the next one. Might have to let Emre Can start taking the pens. He's German, after all.
Yeah, but am I right in thinking that he's terrible at pens as well?
I don't know, but my Trent Alexander-Arnold shout from last week's not looking too bad now, is it?
I think everyone should take one. I think we should go back. You know, let's revert back to that Middlesbrough penalty shootout of years gone by. Maybe bring Jordan Williams back in. It's obviously been funny. It's not a serious point, but I think that's just a tremendous save by the goalkeeper. I think it's a really, really good pen. As far as good a pen can be without it going in. Which, you know, judge that how you will. It should have gone to Milner. It should have gone to Milner at the weekend. He just needs to stick one in because I think that's like four. We've missed our last four pens. Or if it's four in 2017 or something, which is not very Liverpool.
It's mad, isn't it? Yeah, it's crazy. So he'd missed one in 14 as a Liverpool player before last night, 2 in 14, or 2 in 15 now. Still isn't a bad record at all, is it? Like, and you, as you say, that's still a good penalty and a great save from the goalkeeper, Handjankovic.
Well, no
something way, no. Like that. I'm terrible with pronunciations.
You, that's who was their goalkeeper called? Perfect.
Yeah. Perfect. We've had confirmation. Next one that I really like, in fact, was it's the same guy. Damn. Rajveer N1, great Wednesday. Top of the Champions League group so far with Sevilla and Spartak still to play. Both will be tough games, but we should have Mane, Coutinho, Lallana and possibly climb back. Firmino's skill to win the penalty was beautiful. West Ham away next, you'll never walk alone. The Champions League group is actually quite interesting. I went onto the Echo website this morning, Paul.
I'm still fighting my way through the adverts
and stuff, but we'll get there eventually. By the time this 15-minute show's done, they might have all loaded. I'm currently up to 19 million pop-up ads, 3 surveys, 2 in video adverts.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
So, as it stands, Liverpool on 8 points, Sevilla 7, Spartak 5, Maribor 1. Head-to-head decides placings in the group over goal difference. So if Liverpool beat Sevilla, we will qualify with a game to spare. Okay. Could confirm our status as group winners, depending on the result of Spartak-Maribor.
Yep.
This is long. Strap yourself in, mate. This gets really good. If Spartak fail to beat Maribor, then Liverpool will top Group E. If Liverpool draw with Sevilla, they cannot confirm their status as group winners, although they would remain in the driving seat. If Spartak lose to Maribor, then Liverpool will qualify from Group E. If Spartak beat or draw with Maribor, Liverpool need just a point at home against the Russian champions to secure their passage through. But they wouldn't necessarily top the group if Sevilla better the Reds' results.
This feels like the kind of video I'd love to see you do on the glass again.
You've got to write it backwards
at the same time. That'd be fantastic.
Wait for this one.
Go on.
If Liverpool lose to Sevilla, Sevilla leapfrog Liverpool in the group, and unless the Spaniards lose to Maribor, it'll be impossible to overhaul them. Liverpool's final group game against Spartak becomes crucial if Spartak see off Maribor as expected, with a win over the Russians guaranteeing a top 2 spot. Have you followed me so far?
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah, I have. I'll summarise.
Okay. Assuming Spartak beat Maribor, Liverpool lose to Sevilla, a 0-0 draw will be enough to send Liverpool through on head-to-head. Both teams will have 9 points, but Liverpool's away goal in Russia would seal qualification. A 1-1 draw should be enough as long as Liverpool's goal difference remains better than Spartak's. Liverpool's is currently plus 10, Spartak's plus 3. Any other draw, 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, will see Spartak go through on a head-to-head away goals. Regardless of Spartak's result in Maribor, if Liverpool lose, they'll be eliminated on head-to-head and will face the Europa League in February. Any other result will, of course, put the Reds into the last 16. What do we need to do, Paul?
Just beat Sevilla.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go. Okay. Just beat Sevilla. And you know what? For shits and giggles, beat Spartak as well. and then move on. Look, you know, the group's kind of working out nicely for us, all told. And what I think that you just go all out Sevilla, don't you? Because what you want to do, you obviously want to top the group first and foremost for all the reasons that we are long established about.
Yeah, because you could get Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, draw. Tottenham.
because you can now draw Real Madrid in the last 16. So maybe we finish second in the group. Who's asked? The point is that I want Liverpool to qualify with the game to go, because I think that's a big thing. You know, that's another little box tick for me, being able to give a few lads a game. Go and give Ben Woodburn some Champions League experience in the last group game, because we talked about this. And, you know, look, I could go the rest of my life with never watching Liverpool play Europa League football again.
Yeah. Probably won't happen.
No, of course, we'll be back. We're always back. But what it always represented was those group stages. It was a good chance to give some younger lads to go and to try some different things and blah, 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 blah. There's nothing quite like Champions League experience. And I think what we saw from the starting 11, which we'll talk about on the final word in a bit more detail today, is we're having to put good teams up. We're taking this competition seriously, because you're meant to take this competition seriously. But once it's sorted, do take the World Cup group stage approach. Stick Danny Ward in for that game. Stick Ben Woodburn in. Get Grujic in the team, whatever, why not? Get them to sack, because I think there's more benefit, provided the group's largely won, and you will have a clearer idea of who's going to be first and second in a lot of the groups anyway. Might need a little bit more clearer. You might find by the last game of the group that there's a 50-50 split. There might be a ton of great teams in second and a ton of great teams in first, and you think, well, does it make a deal of difference to us?
Okay, we've got a really cool comment actually from Wise Ali, who said, can we please talk about the way Milner teed up Emre Can for the second goal so casually? Yeah. I nearly creamed myself when I watched this back.
Yeah, you did. And then when you told me about it later on, you went again, which I'm not sure.
And I told Ty about it as well. Yeah, I called him over.
You must have just spaced like 15 minutes between each other. The recuperation.
I've done three now. I'm done for the day.
done for the week. You only get a bucket and a half, lad. Trust me, I know. James Milner, and there's another one that I want to talk a bit more about in a bit more depth and detail on the final way, but I thought he put another splendid performance in. As you rightly said, you know, he absolutely knows how to play against Maribor now. Nobody knows how to play Maribor better than
James
Milner. He's
spread them on toast.
He's just all over it.
Ball, though, it is, as Waz says, it's so casual. Like, the whole move, we started it with a throw, and I think on the right-hand side, we worked it over to Emre Can, who's in the half space on the left. And then he drives into James Milner. Now, the ball's brilliant, but Milner doesn't play that ball if Chan's not making that run already. So it's them two working in perfect sync, knowing what's coming. And the ball takes three people out. And he's kind of like backing away from it. Oh, it's just so good.
That is my favourite Emre Can that we saw in the second half. The one that does that, like, who just charges around. He scares the life out of people. It reminds me of City at the Etihad a couple of seasons ago, and he was like that. You know, he's getting beyond men. He's giving and going. I don't like the Emre Can that tries to dictate the tempo of the football match with the ball. I'd rather him dictate it with his body by running around. And you know, he did one where he made up for Daniel Sturridge. I think it was, giving the ball away, and he charged over him and tried to win it back and stuff. I like that. I like, because I if there's one criticism that won't leave Emre Can, is that I think he's a bit thick at times. when he thinks too much about the game, I don't think that suits him. Yeah. I think he shoots that. And to be fair, in a similar spread, I think James Milner is very, very intelligent as a footballer. But equally, that this game suited his style play. He's all energy. He played. It's a bad cliche, but in the final third, he played in every one of the positions on that pitch, and he played every.
I was looking at whoscored.com this morning, looking at the heat maps and building the team up to see if I could sort of replicate what 11 Teg and 11's pass maps were showing me as well. And it was really interesting to see Milner's, because exactly what you say there, he pops up left hand side, he pops up right hand side, he's all over the middle. Chan's really good as well. Jordan Henderson's perfect, like, you know. That midfield performance was really, really good. Second half from all three of them. But we've not talked about the first half yet. But I do want to just talk about one more comment before we talk about the first half. Killian Clerkin says, thought Moreno was really good once again. Had been solid and positive all season. Credit to him for resurrecting his Liverpool career. My man of the match.
The moment, and I referenced it on a couple of videos last night. The moment when, I can't even remember who plays the ball to him, but it's cross field and it is 12 foot over his head. There is no chance. And he just described...
Should have done
my stretches. My visual pain scale tells me that's at least 3 months out. He gets up and he brings it down on his toe like fucking Jazzy, you know. Like he just turned into some mad, like...
That's our left back, lads.
Yeah.
That's our left back.
And it was like... It was a moment in the cop where all the fellas who sit near me, who just do nothing but just whinge about him, and I've done for years, and, you know, let's be honest, rightly so for a lot of that, they all went, whoa. And it was like that moment was enough. You could feel hearts and minds being won over with a touch of the football. He was absolutely good.
You know, something that won't have been picked up on the TV is I was watching Moreno quite closely first half because he was over towards the main stand where I was. And it was
proximity bias.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's what you can do, isn't it? You can pick a player out and you can just watch them, because we've talked about Moreno so often over the last few weeks. I thought I'd give him a little watch a little bit more closely and stuff. And he's dead close to me, so it makes it very easy with my poor sight.
Given that on the far side of the pitch,
can't see anyone.
Not him, let alone him.
I tell people apart by the colour of the boots at the far side of the pitch. My eyesight's that bad, Paul. So on the left hand side, Alberto Moreno. Their right winger, it was one of the only times that they actually made a move from the goalkeeper hitting a long ball, but he kicked it to the forward, so it won't have been showed. Alberto Moreno is watching the guy and he starts to sprint when the other guy starts to sprint, and I noticed on it on two or three occasions throughout the match, and the ball never came over to him. But this is a guy who I always thought used to switch off, and at every phase of play that I was watching him, he was so switched on, and it might not have come to him, but just me knowing that he's on that left-hand side is absolutely brilliant, because they were the things that I was worried about with him.
Yeah, he's terrific, mate. It's become a little bit of an in-joke in the office that we've developed on match review shows. So in the match review and the final word, everyone this season pretty much has had 5 minutes dedicated to how good Alberto Moreno is, which is mental. Because I bumped into Ian Newby as I was walking out of my seat, and he was with his dad, and his dad was like, How good was Moreno? It's not a shock to me, because I think he's been impressive. Look, my dad said it 3 weeks ago now that he thinks he's been our most consistent player this season, and you know,
I think Mo Salah,
exactly. You know, and that's Mo Salah's been incredible. So I think you're comparing
a left back with a guy who scored what 9 goals for us this season so far.
Ten,
and it's close. Yeah. Okay, so God the One has put a chat in and says, is Milner better? Well, you know who's coming up. Better than Hendo. Right. Where's Flano? Amen.
Flano. He's Flano, isn't he? I don't know why we're like this. Look, thanks very much for the question. It's not a personal criticism in any way, shape, or form. But I've seen this a bit recently because, you know, I've been on a Jordan Henderson. I had my eyes open to the hatred of Jordan Henderson in the last 7 days. Why does everything have to be mutually exclusive? You know what I mean? Milner's just terrific. What's worth remembering is Jordan Henderson has been bred by Jurgen Klopp specifically for that position on the field.
Yeah.
Because if he wasn't, there would have been I don't see that there was any issue with Jordan Henderson coming into Gini Wijnaldum's role last night. And I thought for a very brief moment that was what we might see, because Emery settled in the six. Why bother? But that team is built around Jordan Henderson playing in that role. And James Milner, it gets a bit maligned. And I think, again, it's because there's a Twitter account, because of the Bourne and Milner account and these things. And because he was never, you know, one of the top golden generation English players or whatever. I think people are still surprised when he puts in good performances. And look, there's a guy who was a winger.
Yeah.
For the longest time. Came to the Premier League very, very young. You know, he was making his debut at like 16, 17, played for Leeds, Newcastle, was great at Villa, went to City, had a very good time at City, and now he's at us. And I don't think we should be shocked by his performances. I mean, I'm not answering the question, but I think they're both good, if it is the honest answer. And I'm glad that we're seeing that from Milner, because he ended up at left back, I think we've forgotten how good a footballer he can be. That being said, the first half, and a lot of people saying this, a midfield three of Henderson, Milner and Chan is not the most inspiring midfield.
It's not the most inspiring, it's not the most creative midfield, but what it did is it absolutely knackered the other team out, because they just kept on moving the ball right to left, left to right and all that type of stuff. And by the time the second half started, these guys were blowing out their arse, Paul.
Yeah. Well, we've said this.
Can we just talk about the first half again briefly? But I wanted to bring in a tweet from Tony Evans into this before we do, because I really thought it was a good tweet that he put out last night. Biggest change in the game in my lifetime, the idea that football is entertainment.
Oh, this was from the other day, wasn't it?
He did a thread, 1st of November like yesterday. On this, yeah. That losing is somehow okay if it's pretty and winning can be dull. Liverpool have won 2 games, 3-0, with really dull first halves, and yet there is a huge majority of fans that aren't happy with this. You win any game 3-0, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, that's exactly that. You got a sense of the crowd. I think I put something on Twitter that Liverpool need. I expected us to up the intensity in the second half, but we needed to, because there was a real sense that you needed to keep the crowd on side. There was just too many people going and like, again, this is a bit too much like Huddersfield, blah 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 blah. Now this is going to be the crux of the final word show, actually. So if you want to watch this, do tune in to theredbandtv.com about whether it's tactics or whether it's by accident or design, basically, mm-hmm. of how Liverpool are approaching these games. But yeah, I said last week Liverpool need to just go on a run of winning football matches, and I would take that Huddersfield result 4 times over just to see where we stand after 4 solid wins. That's 2 down for me. I'd take it against West Ham, and I very much would take it against Southampton as well.
Okay.
And I think Liverpool will be in a very, very good position.
I think you're right, Paul. And I think we'll wrap it up there. But as Paul's mentioned a couple of times already, we are recording the final word very shortly. We've got Sachin Nakrani, who is writer and editor for The Guardian Sport, co-host of Media Matters on the Anfield Index Pro app as well. He's also a contributor to This Is Anfield. And if that wasn't enough, the author of We're Everywhere Us, the LFC book. So seriously, a great guest lined up for the final word. We'll be chewing the fat on Maribor versus Liverpool, the 3-0 victory to Liverpool. Can't wait to get into it. We'll get over there shortly. If you're not onto theredmentv.com, do go over, sign up. It's £5 a month, 3 exclusive 1-hour shows minimum every single week on the Mighty Reds. Thanks for watching. Drop a like on the video and subscribe if you've not already.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.